He saved you to be unique, special, out of the box, one of a kind.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about what it means to be one of God's elect.
He didn't provide regular salvation. He didn't offer you a regular sacrifice. He didn't offer you a regular deliverer. He went uptown on you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Long before we chose God, God chose us. Dr. Evans says many of us don't realize what an incredible concept that is. He'll explain it to us today as we start a brand new series about taking God seriously. Let's join him.
All of us have said, at some time or another, I'm being serious. In other words, this is not kidding. I'm not joking right now. This is not for frivolity. This is not for laughter. I'm being serious. When we say that, we're asking them to pay serious attention. This is not casual conversation at this point. All of us as parents have said to our children, at some time or another, I'm serious. I'm not laughing. What we're saying is whatever we are talking about needs to be taken to heart because we're not kidding. The last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, basically is God saying, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Pay attention. This is not a joke. The simple theme of the book of Malachi is taking God seriously. We could have given it a longer title and a more pedantic expression, but it can be simply summarized as a book about taking God seriously. We live in a culture and in a day of the dumbing down of God. His name is used everywhere. It's just been extracted from its meaning. It's a convenient word to throw out to make you seem like you got a little religion. It introduces meetings with invocations, concludes meetings with benediction, as long as it stays out of the meeting. God has become a convenient spiritual term without any content. God starts off with some good news, because in Malachi chapter 1, he says, I have loved you. Now that's good news. To hear God say, I've loved you. I have loved you. But they have a question. The question is given to us in verse 1. They want to know, how have you loved us? In other words, God, we hear what you're saying. We don't see what you're talking about. God starts off by saying, I have loved you. They start off by asking, where, when, how? How have you loved us? Now, the reason that they raise the question comes out in the rest of the book. They raise the question because the way things were going, it didn't look like God loved them. Things weren't going well. There was a drought. The locust was eating up all the vegetation. There was all kinds of conflict. God was not listening to them. Prayers were not being answered. So things were not going in such a way that it looked like the love that God was talking about they were experiencing. This book is basically answering questions about why God isn't doing anything. How have you loved me? And that leads to the first response. He says, was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord in verse 2. Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. I have made his mountains a desolation and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Jacob and Esau were brothers. They are the two boys of Isaac and Rebekah. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, Rebekah is getting ready to give birth to these two boys. God says to Rebekah and Isaac, in your stomach are two nations. Jacob, he's going to become the nation Israel. And Esau, he's going to become the nation Edom. There are two nations in your belly. So when he's talking about Jacob and Esau, he's not just talking about them as individuals. He's talking about individuals who are going to birth a whole nation, which is why when he gets in chapter 3, he talks about Edom, the nation that comes from Esau that's in desolation. Why does he bring this up? He brings it up because he says, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. And therein is our dilemma. On the one hand, we're hearing God saying, I love this baby boy and what will come out from him, but I hate this baby boy and what will come out from him. Now, at first thought, you would hear the word love and hate and perhaps think of emotions. You will think of, you know, feeling love for somebody or somebody feeling love for you. But in the use of the love-hate relationship in the Bible, it goes beyond emotion to selection, to choosing something. For example, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 and in Luke 14, if you love your father and mother more than me, or he says, a man should hate his father and mother and love me. Now, is he telling you not to feel good about your father and mother? Is he telling you to despise your father and mother? Well, obviously not. The Ten Commandments tell us to honor our father and mother. No, no, no. He says, when it comes to your decisions, he's not talking about how you feel right now. When it comes to your choices, if you have to choose between your mama and your daddy and your savior, mama and daddy lose, I win. He's dealing with love as a choice, not as an emotion. Love me with your decisions, regardless of how you feel at any given moment. So when he speaks of love, he's speaking of a decision. God chose Jacob, which is Israel, to be in his will. His will is called his covenant. He mentions it in this book, chapter 2, verse 4. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you that my covenant may continue with Levi. That's Israel, says the Lord of hosts, verse 8. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi. The covenant, stay with me now, is God's will. Jacob was placed in God's will, which means that God had bequeathed to Jacob, that is Israel, the blessings of their relationship with him. They were not bequeathed to Esau, which is Edom, and Edom is going to live in destruction because Edom is not in the will. This will is called, as you saw, a covenant. The Bible says that when you become a Christian, you become part of the new covenant. That's what the New Testament calls it. That's the New Testament is the new covenant. That is the arrangement that God makes with Christians. If you are a Christian now, you are in God's will. But we got a problem. Israel is in God's will, but they're not receiving the benefits of the will. They're in it, but they don't see themselves benefiting from it. They were born into God's family, but they were unwilling to fulfill the purpose for the birth. God says, I love you. But as you'll see as you read these through chapters, you don't want to be connected to my love. And because you don't want to be connected to my love, it's not because I don't love you. It's just that you don't want the right association with me. The benefits in the will that you want aren't coming your way. Now, He says, I have loved Jacob. I have hated Esau. I reject Esau. Now, let me tell you why he rejected Esau. When you look at the story of Jacob and Esau, he rejected Esau because Esau rejected his birthright. He sold his birthright for some oatmeal. And when he sold his birthright for some oatmeal, he got disconnected from God because he rejected the birth. Jacob wasn't all that, but he wanted that birthright. He wanted the right of the covenant. That's what the birthright meant. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here it is. The reason why so many Christians are not experiencing more of God is they've rejected their birthright. In other words, they've rejected their association with the God who loves them. This book, the book of Malachi, and all we can do is introduce it to you today, is about how God's people reject him and then how they get mad at God for their own rejection. In fact, their rejection was so bad, they didn't know they had done it. You ever have any children who think they didn't do anything wrong? And they look at you and say, what you upset about? Yeah. In other words, they're not even aware that they have departed. This is a book of spiritual departure because they no longer were taking God seriously. They had settled for religion rather than a serious relationship with God. He says, I want you to take your election seriously. Election means chosen for a purpose. The reason why you didn't go to heaven, I didn't go to heaven, the moment when we were converted, is because between conversion and heaven, there was a task to do, a purpose to fulfill, a reason to leave you here in your saved state. But for far too many Christians, we are going from salvation to heaven, never having fulfilled our earthly purpose on the way there, because we did not take God seriously.
Dr. Evans will be back in a moment with more about what it means to be one of God's elect. Right now, he's here with important thoughts to share with us. Dr. Evans?
Well, first of all, I want to thank so many who've come alongside of us and stood with us over the months and over the years, because we couldn't be where we are without you. God is blessing the Urban Alternative. Every week we get letters from people whose lives have been impacted. I got a letter recently from a person who was going to commit suicide, who came across our broadcast and who accepted Christ and now is moving on with their lives. And we've got letters from people in prison and people whose families have remained intact. And one person, when I was at a conference, simply said, our ministry save their lives. So you see, your investment in this ministry is touching the lives of so many other people. But we also need your continued help. We need your expanded help. If we're ministering to you and make a difference for you, would you help make a difference for us? Thank you for your help.
Staying on the radio is our largest expense here at The Alternative, and we need faithful friends to help us continue our work. We hope that you will be one of them, and if you get in touch with us and make your contribution right away, we'd like to send you a copy of the brand new teaching series Tony started today, Taking God Seriously, as our thank you gift. It focuses on a number of key areas where we need to invest more of our attention and energy, from reverence and worship to your relationship with your spouse and your kids. We're counting on your investment in us so we can continue investing in you. Make your contribution online at TonyEvans.org today, and we'll get a copy of Taking God Seriously on its way to you. Don't wait. This special offer is only available for a limited time. That's TonyEvans.org, or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7. One more time, that's 1-800-800-3222. Here's Dr. Evans once again with more of today's lesson.
Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, the book of Ephesians chapter 1. This is kind of a New Testament explanation of the same concept. 1 Peter 1, 2 and Romans 8, 29 says election is based on foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is to know beforehand. God elects for the purpose of appointing to a purpose. So everybody in here that's a Christian has been elected for a purpose. John 15, verse 16 says, I have chosen you that you might bear much fruit and that your fruit will remain. He says, I've chosen you, elected you for a purpose. And that's why many people, even if they don't know their purpose, if you're a Christian, you feel like you got one. You don't know what it is yet, but you feel like it's there because it's part of the election. To become a Christian means that you have been elected for a purpose. He comes in Ephesians chapter 1, and now he's talking to New Testament Christians. I'm using, you know, Malachi is the Old Testament. This is the New Testament counterpart. Now watch this. Paul, verse 1, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, Christians, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything God is ever going to do for you, he's already done for you, but he wants to let you know where it is located. It is not located in the physical realm. It's located in the spiritual realm. Therefore, if you are not in contact with the spiritual realm, you are not in contact with the place where the blessings are located. Now watch this. He gets even more particular. He says they are located in Christ at the end of verse 3. Then he brings up election. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Your blessings are in the spiritual realm, so they can only be accessed spiritually, because that's where they're located. The problem today is we've got people in the covenant who don't want to be spiritual, but they want the blessings that can only be received spiritually. They want to skip the spiritual, but still get the blessing. They want to skip the spiritual, but still get what heaven has to offer. Malachi was written because they're not experiencing God, but they do have the covenant. Well, the reason that they weren't experiencing God, even though they had the covenant, is they had disconnected from the God of the covenant. He tells the New Testament Christian, believers, you are in Christ, so you're in the covenant. He says, but you've been chosen for a purpose. Now, what is the purpose? Here it is. He says, you are chosen to be holy. Stick with me here. He says, the way you know you are operating properly within the covenant is your holiness. The question is, what is holiness? Now, most people will say holiness is not sinning. Well, not quite, not quite. That's a piece of it. But that's specifically more the word righteous. Righteous as the opposite of unrighteous. Unrighteousness is sin and evil. Righteousness is purity and all that. Okay? When he uses the word holy of God, or when God uses the word holy of us, he is saying that in this world, you should be unique, special, distinct, not like the crowd, certainly not profane, but God doesn't even want you to be regular or common or everyday-ish. The reason why we're not experiencing more of the covenantal presence of God is because far too many Christians have settled to be common and a few have decided to be profane. But if you're profane or if you're common, God didn't save you for that. He saved you to be unique, special, out of the box, one of a kind. on your job, are you like everybody else? In your talk, in your walk, in your action? Or are you standouting? A standout in your actions, in your thoughts, in your interactions? In other words, do you reflect the fact that you're in Christ? That's his point. Do you reflect the association? Now, why is this critical? Because they are complaining in Malachi, we're not seeing this love. And some people here may be saying, I don't see God's love. I know the Bible says he loves me, but I don't feel it and I don't see it. Well, my question is, are you unique? A lot of people say, I know God loves me because of what he does for me. Okay, well, that's one half of it. But the other way that you know God loves you is that he didn't give you what he could have. That's called mercy. Every day that God doesn't do what he could do, if he was just basing it on what you did, or to give you a reason, he says in verse 5, to magnify his name. He said, when you really pay attention to my mercy, you ought to be praising me now, not questioning me. You ought to be glorifying me, not complaining against me. Because if it was left up to you and what you did and how you would treat me, you wouldn't be having this complaining session. You'd be wondering why it took me so long to respond. Everybody likes a standout person. We like standout athletes. We like standout workers who are producing. Everybody likes standout. God loves standout sons and daughters. Christians who are not marching to the step of the culture because they're marching to a different drumbeat. Are you a standout Christian or are you just a regular church member? See, churches all over the nation are filled with regular religious folk. God is not impressed with regular religious folk. Why? Because he didn't provide you a regular Savior. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. He didn't provide regular salvation. He didn't offer you a regular sacrifice. He didn't offer you a regular deliverer. He went uptown on you and for me. For our eternal destiny as well as his purposes in history. And that's what discipleship is all about. It's turning regular Christians into visible, verbal followers of Jesus Christ. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you, or would you be found innocent of all charges? Because you're just regular. Everybody go to church. Everybody cussing. You know, everybody doing this, everybody doing that. So what is unique about you? How serious are you in your following Christ? What does it look like when I operate under God's covenantal covering, in his will, his way? And what can I expect from him when I do? That's what Malachi wants to tell us as we take God seriously.
Dr. Tony Evans wrapping up the first message in his brand new teaching series, Taking God Seriously. Don't forget, this 10-part CD collection is yours as our thank you gift when you make any contribution to help keep the alternative coming your way. But this limited time offer won't be around for long. Call our Resource Center today at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are available day or night to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Make the arrangements online at tonyevans.org. And while you're there, sign up for one of the studies available at the Tony Evans Training Center. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone or other device. You can choose from courses on a wide range of subjects. Work through the lessons at your own pace. Access exclusive content from Tony and get specific questions answered through our online forum. There's even a free introductory course on evangelism to get you started. Check it out today at tonyevans.org. If you ask newcomers leaving their first church service what worship is, many of them would tell you, oh, that's the singing part. Well, tomorrow, we'll find out why that's only part of the story as Dr. Evans talks to us about taking worship seriously. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.